If you're ready to stand on the line, if you're ready to fight back and serve it to the criminals trying to enslave you and steal your wealth through monetary creation and exorbitant taxation, you're in the right place. Welcome back to another edition of the Prepper Recon Podcast. Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, water filters, bug-out bags, and first aid kits. Use coupon code PREPPERRECON for 5% off your entire order at CampingSurvival.com.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. $89 includes shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
Today's guest is our good friend Hunter. Hunter lives in the American Readout and is a regular guest on the show. Hunter, welcome back.
Hello, Mark. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great, and it's great to talk to you again. How was your winter?
It was really pretty mild. Hopefully, it's gonna not be too much of a fire season this year because we didn't get near the snow that we normally would, and the governor's over in Washington and Oregon have already cleared drought emergencies. So I'm just praying that the Lord keeps us safe up here and we don't have any repeats of the Carlton Complex fire over in my neck of the woods.
Yeah, that's true, because you depend on all of that snow for precipitation to for water. And that's the form of rain for a lot of the Northwest.
Yeah, the lakes are really down from where they should be this time of year, and it's going to be an issue probably come August and September. But let's get on to what we need to talk about here with this National Adult Immunization Plan.
Yeah, you sent me some emails about that, and it's some pretty scary stuff. You want to tell us about that?
Sure. Well, first off, I need to thank our friend John Jacob Schmidt over at Radio Free Readout for bringing this up on my radar, because this seems like it's just been something that the government tried to sneak on past us as part of Obamacare, and one of those, how do we want to put it, clauses as the Secretary of Health and Human Services sees fit. And they're implementing this National Adult Immunization Plan, which is going to be a mandatory program, soft at first, but I believe there's an iron fist in this here somewhere if they don't get the desired results that they want in the next 5 years. Because their goal is for 2020 to have every adult in the United States vaccinated for these common conditions that you should have been immunized for as when you were a kid, including the shingles virus, you know, chickenpox, flu shots, just the whole nine yards. They're trying to make that mandatory.
And we've sort of had this soft enforcement of vaccination mandates for some time now. You can't go to a public school if you haven't had your shots, and now it's getting worse. Nurses in your area are getting fired if they don't get their shots, right?
Well, it's not just in my area. It's been all across the country. It's been going on for a couple years now. Nurses back in Indiana were fired back in 2013, and it was upheld by the courts. I have a ruling here that says one nurse's right of non-religious non-participation was upheld because the hospital had a religious exemption. But the court said, basically, if they do away with the religious exemption, then they don't have to give anyone an exemption. And the Supreme Court has already ruled that mandatory vaccination is legal, constitutional, according to their decision against the state of Massachusetts. So we're getting folks that, you know, not only are they going to possibly lose their jobs, they may have to get vaccinations in order to get jobs. And if, you know, if you can't get a job, if you can't, you know, make money, then it's going to be pretty hard for you to buy or sell. And I think that's getting into a biblical interpretation that could be pretty ominous.
Yeah, absolutely. And where do you think all this is headed?
Well, in my opinion, this is a medical fascist dictatorship. It's a combination of the vaccine industry teaming up with the government and forcing healthcare providers to make recommendations to their patients. And we've seen recently on both sides of the country where folks have lost their kids. They've been basically kidnapped by government agencies for failing to follow healthcare provider recommendations. There was a family over here in Washington who didn't do what the doctor said, giving their kids formula when they didn't feel they're up to weight, and the Department of Children's Services took the kids, took them away from their kids, gave them forced medical care against the parental wishes. And there was a 17-year-old girl, I believe it was back in Connecticut, that didn't want chemotherapy for Hodgkin's disease. And the state said, well, we think we know best, and took the kid away from her mother, put her in the hospital, and forced her to do chemo. So doctors are, you know, always been accused of thinking they're God. Now it almost seems like they're becoming God. Their recommendations are higher than law. So that's not the way, I don't think, our government and our country was set up to be. We're supposed to have individual rights. And it's really being abused here as far as the implementation of Obamacare and the power that's been allocated to the Secretary of Health and Human Services.
Yeah, and it was Massachusetts was where Justina Peltier was taken from her family, and that was on the charges of abuse, where they had taken her to one doctor that had given her a diagnosis, and then they took it to another doctor. The doctor said she's been misdiagnosed, and basically blamed the parents for the misdiagnosing of the other doctor, and the state took her away. They had to fight about 3 years to regain custody of her, and while she was in the state's care, her health deteriorated rapidly, and she got very, very sick and near death. She got to the point to where she couldn't walk anymore. She was in a wheelchair, which I don't think had a whole lot to do with her original condition, and I think it had a lot to do with her mental state, because she was not being cared for properly and borderline being abused by the state. And this idea that the state can just step in and take your children at will for any, and for, in this particular instance, for no reason, is just absolutely horrifying, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. You know, I've got a grandchild that's coming into the world probably in a couple of months, and I'm terrified as to what kind of world that she's coming into. The family over in Washington, they had twins that were delivered at home by a home birth, and the paramedic, you know, gave the recommendation that they needed to go to the hospital to have them checked up. Well, they decided not to. Then when they did take them to the pediatrician said that the kid isn't or the twins aren't gaining weight as quick as they should, and you need to put them on formula. Well, they didn't want to do that. They wanted to raise their kids naturally without, you know, the miracles of modern medicine. And the wife was, you know, natural nursing. Well, the kids still weren't gaining weight as quick, and the family thought, okay, we will put them on formula, but that wasn't good enough for the state. And then the state decided that they were, like you say, abusing their kids, and they took the kids away from their parents. And while the kids were in a foster home, they were exposed to a bunch of diseases and illnesses, and their oldest kid, who wasn't even part of that issue, was taken away and ended up coming down with an illness that he probably wouldn't have been exposed to if he hadn't been in a foster home. So this state thinking that they know what's best for us, you know, it's becoming a real, like you say, like I say anyway, a fascist dictatorship as far as it comes to medical care.
It's time for a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proved to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on silver and gold. Check out silver.com today.
Are you prepared to defend yourself and your loved ones in extraordinary circumstances? Do you know the one piece of gear Special Operations soldiers rely on to gain an unfair advantage in the field? Are you interested in honing your firearm skills based on lessons learned in actual gunfights? In desperate times, ready men rise to the occasion and come out on top in difficult scenarios. With 73 years of Special Forces experience, the Ready Man Cadre blends cutting-edge tactics with the most current prepper skills into each online episode and live training event. Go to readyman.com to learn more and sign up for a free Special Forces-designed hostage escape card that you can easily carry and defeat locks, cut through ropes, and pick your way out of handcuffs. Again, that's readyman.com to sign up for your free Special Forces-designed hostage escape card.
And thimerosal is a preservative used in many vaccines. And thimerosal is a mercury derivative. Is that something you'd feel safe about having injected into you or your kids?
Well, I remember years ago seeing a National Geographic magazine where Japanese kids were exposed to mercury and mercury byproducts and all the birth defects and medical issues that came off of that. And I don't think putting any poison in your body is a good thing, even in minute amounts, because it just accumulates. And now the government is saying that all of us adults are going to have these 12 mandatory shots that we're going to have to take. And vaccination safety issues don't even come into play until afterwards. If you have an effect after you have the shots, maybe they'll try to do something to help you out. But you're still going to have to get the shots if they have their way. So if you're trying to keep yourself healthy by natural means, by vitamins, by supplements, colloidal silver, essential oils, like a couple of guests you had on the show a couple weeks ago talked about, they know better than you do. And they've decided that everybody is going to have these 12 vaccinations for now. But they're going to encourage the vaccination industry to come up with more shots, and they'll make those mandatory. So who knows how many shots and who knows how many harmful substances could be in those that you're going to have to get until they find out, oh, we having some bad effects off of those, and then it's too late.
Let's take a little walk down a hypothetical trail here, and let's assume that everything we've said about the possibility of vaccines being harmful, or let's say they take out the thimerosal, let's say they come up with one vaccine and you'll never get sick again in your life, and it's been proven and alternative media is backing it, and And anybody that has any reputation at all of knowing what's going on has said, yes, this stuff, more than likely you're going to live to be 150, maybe 200 years old if you'll take this shot. Now, a little known fact about vaccines lately, and in particular the MMR, which is the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, is cultured in fetal material from aborted fetuses. So now this new miracle shot that we're talking about here on our hypothetical talk was cultured in aborted fetuses. For a staunch pro-lifer like you and me, we can't take that because of our moral codes. Is that correct?
And that's the big danger, is that they're going to do away with religious exemptions, because then it allows the possibility for people to avoid these because of non-religious exemptions. The case that I was talking about before in Indiana, I'm pretty sure that was at a Catholic hospital, which, you know, they really don't go for that type of thing. But again, the government and the state knew better, and the hospital, the business, knew better than this nurse who said, no, I don't want to do this on religious grounds. But the interesting thing is, out here, and I can't verify this for all hospitals, but the hospitals here are being basically bribed to do this on the Medicare reimbursements. If they don't get 100% of their Medicare reimbursement, unless they have 100% of their employees that go along with this. So they tell people that, you know, you don't have a choice. You have to have this shot. And, you know, your personal beliefs don't matter. So even if, you know, this thing, like you said, could make you live to be 150, and you say, no, I don't want it because of where it comes from, they say, well, we know better than you do. And that's a really dangerous thing when you start, you know, interfering with the people's rights to life, liberty, and their pursuit of happiness, which is what our country was built on. That's the cornerstone of the Declaration.
Well, Hunter, obviously we had measles, mumps, and rubella vaccines prior to Roe versus Wade. So it's not necessary to use aborted fetuses to culture these vaccines. There was an ancient god of the Canaanites called Moloch, and one of the ways that the people would worship him would sacrifice their children to him. Do you think this method of using aborted fetuses to culture the vaccines, is that some sick plan to force everybody to bow at the altar of Moloch?
Well, you know, a lot of people would call this whole, you know, vaccine, you know, opposition plan, you know, tinfoil hat conspiracy thing. And I don't know if it would go that far, but the bottom line for me is that they're doing away with our ability to make informed choices. Now, you know, when you look at something like, say, this aborted fetuses thing and say that, you know, even if it has mercury in it, I won't, you know, I'll do it, but I won't do it if it has, you know, the results of the abortion in there. That should be your choice. But with this NAIP, you're going to have pressure from all sides. You're going to have community groups. You're going to have churches that don't have problems with abortions. You're going to have employers. You're going to have schools that are telling you, you have to do this in order to use our services, in order to be employed here. And the logical step is that you're not going to be able to do your normal lifestyle. You're going to be an outcast or a pariah if you don't go along with what somebody who thinks they're smarter than you has decided. And That's not the way it's supposed to be, in my opinion.
No, and we had a lot of doctors making decisions for folks back in Nazi Germany as well, the eugenics, when they deemed that somebody wasn't qualified to reproduce, then they would take them and sterilize them, and so we see how that ended up. Now, to get off of the medical side of tyranny for a second and to look at a couple other things that we've been dealing with from this tyrannical government, we had a really near miss on the steel core ammo ban. You think DC's finished trying to infringe on our rights to bear arms, or do you think they'll try to come back around the side of the building and flank us on that one again?
Well, I personally think that a lot of the folks back in government and on the left suffer from a mental disorder that Colonel Jeff Cooper describes as hoplophobia, or an irrational fear of guns, and they'll never stop until they, you know, disarm the American people totally. It's my understanding that the BATF hasn't even done away with this decision. They've just shelved it for now, and they're waiting for the results of public opinion, and then they'll go ahead and do what they want, unless the congressmen and the senators, the people that hold the purse strings for that government, are able to influence them enough. But I don't think we've seen the last of any ammo ban, and we certainly haven't seen the last of impositions on our Second Amendment. They'll keep going, and it's just the way they are.
Now, California Congressman Mike Honda has he keeps trying to come back with a ban for body armor. Now, body armor is a defensive tool, and I can't think of any shootings that anybody's ever killed anybody with body armor. To me, that's a little bit like trying to ban locks. You think he's going to keep at that and trying to ban body armor?
Well, of course. He's one of the hoplophobes who's just suffering from this obsession that the people have to be disarmed in any way, in every way possible. I've been telling folks that you know, I deal with in my groups and stuff like that, that you need to be, if body armor is on your list of things to get, you better be getting it now, and especially from folks like Katie Armour that support your show and Radio Free Readout, that you need to be getting it now, because there's been bills that make it appear that we'll be facing $10,000 fines just for possession of this. And why would you be so scared of citizens having the means to defend themselves? Because, you know, criminals aren't going to obey this thing, just like they don't obey, you know, they're not supposed to have guns right now, but they do anyway. So with this guy, Honda, you know, it's not going to stop. They want us disarmed, so DHS, with their billions of rounds of ammo that they bought, can shoot us with impunity, and, you know, they don't have to worry about going for headshots.
Yeah. Yeah, because all the well-trained guys that can take the headshots, a lot of those guys are oath keepers, and they might not be on their side on D-Day. So, well, Hunter, I guess we need to pray up, train up, and stock up, because it doesn't seem like it's getting any better.
Well, I certainly agree with you there. We definitely need to be on our knees and praying that the Lord will have mercy on us, because I think asking him to bless America with what we've done to him and trying to remove him from our country is a little bit out of line. So he had mercy on the righteous souls like Lot and his family before he, you know, visited his wrath on Sodom and Gomorrah. Mm-hmm. So let's hope he has some mercy for those who are trying to live by his, you know, directives and by the grace of his son.
Yeah, and he does. He always distinguishes between the wicked and the righteous when he brings judgment. We saw that with Noah. We saw it with Lot, like you mentioned, and just a lot of examples. The Israelites and the Egyptians. You know, they were just Goshen and Egypt were just not very far apart at all, and he treated Egypt very differently than he treated Goshen, where the Israelites were. So that's a very good point. And Hunter, thanks so much for taking time to come on the show today.
It was a pleasure being on. Thanks for having me on, Mark, and hope to speak with you again real soon.
Absolutely.
In the Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. A globalist conspiracy transpires by way of a false flag attack against America's energy infrastructure. Noah and Cassandra Parker witness a complete economic meltdown, which is intentionally triggered by the event. The assault is blamed on patriots and Christians who are rounded up into detention centers across the country. Noah and his friends must take action to prepare for the meltdown and defend against the totalitarian regime, which is gunning for their freedom and, quite possibly, their very lives. Get your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution for Kindle, paperback or audio edition at Amazon.com today.